Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Prime time on Conference Championship Week.
There goes Berkeley into the clear, through the snow, all the way home.
This is a Conference Championship Week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Smartline Home Design, a trusted local architectural design studio ready to bring your dream home to life. Visit smartlinehomedesign.com.
Isaac and Sue on 1080.
And this one might send them to the championship game.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Nice to have you along. Dipping into some NFL stuff here, but we're going to have to put that on pause because TGL Tuesday has begun.
What's the big matchup? Oh, God, it's on my TV.
Gold jacket. There it is right there.
I need it. There's got to be hockey on right now.
You want
right?
to know what the big matchup is? Thanks for asking. It's Ricky Fowler, Matthew Fitzpatrick, and Cam Young.
Yeah, the New York Golf Club somehow.
Well, I got the
against
the New York.
Justin Thomas. Patrick Cantlay, and
I can't believe
who's the other guy in there?
No one's really watching.
Billy Horschel.
Horschel.
Like, do we know the ratings for this thing?
And how about the Atlanta Drive? What a great idea of a name with the
Drive.
See what they did there with the Drive?
Because you drive the ball.
Yeah,
I got Red Wings and Flyers starting right now, so I'm out.
So the betting angle here? No, I'm just kidding.
Seriously,
although we did discuss that.
Do we know?
No, we've discussed that.
Is anyone watching this, or is it just crickets?
I don't know. I have no idea.
It has to be crickets.
I would say probably not.
I would imagine they're. I think golf fans are maybe checking it out and then going, ugh.
I like that. Is the exact the sound that you should make if you decide to tune into
well,
that?
Golf fans barely watch golf events, so I don't think they're watching much of this.
Tiger was on there last week.
Yeah,
he's usually a ratings boost.
I don't think so. I don't think this is the same Tiger. The key would have been had Tiger, like 1999 Tiger, been in this, would anyone watch?
Now, that'd be cool. You could do like hologram Tiger.
Yeah. If you could somehow do an AI younger Tiger, then maybe I would tune in. But yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. What if you pitted like young Tiger against peak Nicholas?
See, now we're talking.
Hologram.
There you go.
Come on.
That might
not
be
Billy Horschel or Matthew Fitzpatrick.
No offense.
Current day.
You're telling me I get to tune into ESPN and watch Billy Horschel play on a simulator?
Right.
Oh
That's
my
right.
God.
The great.
Where do I sign up?
All right. Tough choice for you. Watch the TGL or watch the Portland Trailblazers.
Oh yeah. Because
they're on at 4:30.
They play the Heat.
What did I just say? I got Red Wings Flyers. I'm good.
Hey, listen.
I'm good.
Buck will have NBA on. I'll have golf on. You'll have hockey on.
We got it all covered.
We're staying in our lane.
Hey. Don't look now, but old Scoot Henderson putting together a couple good games in a row.
I won't look now. Thank you.
You probably shouldn't. I'm just, you know.
Maybe
I keep a loose eye, and I mean a loose eye, on what's going on over there. And
I'm going to that lake.
Well,
playing well.
I got to tell you, man, back to Mark Andrews.
tell me.
He's always had a case of the dropsies, but he does not fumble. They said he hasn't fumbled a ball since 2019.
No.
And that one got, I mean, totally punched out. It was a nice play.
And by the way, that has become a really fun thing to watch in the NFL. Guys, the old punch out is a real thing now. That wasn't like, oh, he put his hand there by accident. Dudes
they're great at
going for that.
Yeah. Buckley and I talked about this over the holidays while you were gone. and we were talking about how many fumbles we would have with the new age punch out.
Yeah.
I don't know how those guys hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah, but when you get a guy that punches it like that, I mean, it's really hard, especially in those conditions. That ball came shooting out.
Well, Mark Andrews got to be feeling terrible. You know, somebody did point out, we were talking about cold weather. Somebody did point out, you know, Mark Andrews played a lot in cold weather. He's from Baltimore.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. Is that an excuse? I don't know. It was just I don't know. It must be really hard to catch the football. This is not even a weather statement. Even the guys who get paid a lot of money to catch the football fail miserably at it.
Yeah.
It's like, it kind of drives me. I tell you what, I got to be in my bonnet about this.
Mm.
It drives me nuts. It's particularly the diva wide receivers.
Yeah.
Now, when you see Mark Andrews drop a ball, and like I said, he's always had pretty high drop numbers. But when you see like, oh, I know what it was. It was Amon-Ra St. Brown. It was, I forget who was calling that game. Might have been Brady. He said he reminded him a lot of Hines Ward. And I was like, yes, that's the guy I want. I want that guy.
Yeah.
I will take that guy who has stick-em on his hands every time over
the flashy.
Yes, the CeeDee Lamb, the ability of even A.J. Brown looks to me like, dude, hold on to the effing football.
Yeah.
And I get it. It's cold, but guys do it. Yeah. Nacua does it. Amon-Ra St. Brown does it.
By the way, how about that one? Speaking of Puka Nacua, and I know it didn't end the way they wanted to, that ball down the sideline to Puka to get him in position in the weather, oh my goodness.
When they hit that, I thought they were going to win.
I did too.
I thought that was it.
Have you seen the play where Jalen Carter ends it? He calls game. Have you seen, I think it's Higbee, I'm not certain. Have you seen the tight end? If Jalen Carter, which by the way, let me start it on this. How on earth do the center and right guard just leave Jalen Carter alone? I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, just it's just a blown assignment where both guys leave him and you're like, oh my God, you might want to block the best defensive tackle in football. But if Jalen Carter gets blocked there, even if they just get in his way, they whisper in his ear, they tell him a story. The Rams have a tight end going across the middle, wide open, right in the line of Stafford's sight. That is a touchdown walk off. Thanks for coming. The Eagles season is over. And Jalen Carter called game on it. That is, that's
big time players do that.
Yeah. Like every now and then you get like the, you know, whether it's the Chris Jones or Aaron Donalds or like Von Miller's
verse.
Yeah, Verse is going to have that.
Dude,
like that dude is.
He almost did.
And when you get these sorts of guys, like I always say that sometimes like sack numbers are the most overinflated stat and we make way too much of it. But every now and then having a guy at the end of a game that can just close out games, it's like having a Mariano Rivera. And when they needed him most, Jalen Carter just was like, no, this game is over. And without that rush, I'm telling you, go back and look at it. There is a guy, there's a tight end coming from the top of the screen in that weather condition, and the Philly DB cannot hang with him. He is running. He would still be running across the middle right now. That is a walk-in touchdown.
Well, as you know, I coach Hail Marys.
Yes.
And I'm one of the foremost experts in the country at Hail Mary coaching.
Yes.
If I were given the opportunity to coach a football team, drops, pass catcher drops are, what's the word I'm looking for? We allow them too much.
Yeah.
Like, for example, we excuse them. Yeah. We're like, well, it's really hard to get. Well, yes, but also no. Not up in here.
Yeah.
Not if I'm coach.
not in the
Because, you know, I was watching guys drop balls right and left, and I get it, weather. But you see this all the time with receivers. I was thinking about punt returns and kick returns. Mm-hmm. And how, dude, you muff a punt, one.
Yeah, you're done.
You're done.
Yeah.
You're going to the, they will not allow you to not catch the ball. If I am ever coaching in the NFL, which is probably soon, you can see my trajectory here.
Oh, it's coming. You and Larry David. You'll be on the you'll be on the Jet staff in no time.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
We're doing, I don't know if we're switching up the pass catching drills. I see him catch them out of the jugs machine all the time. I don't know what it is. But these guys got to hold on to the football better. I can't stand it when you do everything right. You think of all the X's and O's that go into designing a play and reading a defense and all the intricacies of a play,
and
you do everything right, and you hit the guy who's making $70 million to just catch it, and he can't.
It is the, I would say that that is probably the most maddening layup that you miss in sports, because it seems, like you said, it just seems so easy, and yet you see it
all the time.
All the time. And when it happens, it is absolutely backbreaking.
And sometimes they're really egregious.
Yeah.
Like, I get it, you know,
and like,
pass breakup or a,
yeah,
you know.
But some, like, and I saw some people saying, who was it, like Sean King, who I played with, by the way, in Tampa.
What's he doing now?
He's a quarterback coach. And Sean King is a really good dude. He was the quarterback at Tulane and was a backup slash starter in the NFL. Now he's a quarterback coach. Come on, Sean. He had the hot take that on the Andrews 2-point drop that Lamar needs to throw a better
ball.
It was a bad
pass.
And I'm like, dude.
I was right in his breadbasket.
Stop it.
Right?
Yeah.
He had to turn back a little bit.
Like, again, was it the perfect throw? No. But to go on there and have the hot take that somehow that's Lamar's fault, just, Sean, stop that. And I know, like, you're it's engagement and you're trying to, you know, whatever, but that's just asinine. And yet, ultimately, and this is why, again, sometimes the media is so stupid, because next year we're going to have to listen to the Lamar can't win in the playoffs when, you know, Mark Andrews just catch a ball.
That's true. Well, it would have only just tied it.
Would have tied it, but, you know.
But, you know, Lamar, okay, let's get into him next.
Yeah.
Because he's a big topic here,
absolutely,
too.
Absolutely.
Can he win in the playoffs? Because
he was lights out in the second
half. He was
half.
Great, but
he
also
was a mess early.
He also turned
over
it over three times,
dropping the ball, and
didn't he turn it over three times or twice?
Twice.
Right? They
the pick was terrible. The fumble was terrible.
He's got a little okay. I want to talk about him. Right. We're gonna talk about Lamar Jackson.
And I'm gonna defend Lamar.
Oh, I will. I love Lamar. Right. You know me. I love Lamar.
He just had a really rough first half.
You can't be doing it. Like, this is the difference.
Yeah.
That's it, and he knows it. And that's what's even more maddening, because he keeps saying it. Yeah. Well, stop doing it, dip S. Well, we'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, there's now to Lamar Jackson talk. We are meandering our way through the NFL weekend, and we've got a lot to get to. So if we haven't gotten to what you want to hear yet, just sit tight.
It's coming.
It will come, yeah. But we weren't here yesterday, so we couldn't talk about any of the games. But we're talking about Mark Andrews and everything. And dropsies. Well, now to Lamar Jackson, who had two turnovers, played great in the second half.
Second half lights out, but...
But he's been lights out all year. Like, yep. I mean, he did rally, yep, but the two turnovers really hurt him. They got in a 21-10 hole, mm-hmm, and they couldn't rally.
No.
And I, you know, there's this old
adage.
And
they were back-to-back, right? The interception and the fumble came on, two straight.
Yeah, that really flipped the game, because then Baltimore was able to take advantage, and
Buffalo
towards the end of the half.
Buffalo was able to take advantage.
I'm sorry, Buffalo, yeah. And then they got the ball to start the second half, which you really thought, wow, they're going to put this out of range just with the middle eight, which Baltimore luckily got a stop of that first second half. And they played a lot better on both sides of the ball, but it was too late. So there's this old adage that we've talked about here before, and that is let the other team lose the game.
Yeah.
And look, that's way too reductive to be a thing on a football team, right? But what that means when you're, I would imagine, when you're listening to Andy Reid coach, or when you're listening to Sean McDermott coach, I think they're talking about the little things we cannot do that will cost us games, and they matter, and we cannot turn it over. Turnovers aren't even a little thing. Every coach knows that turnover margin is like the number one decider of football games.
And it decided every one of these games.
But
the Rams lost because of turnovers.
100%.
The Ravens lost turnovers, and then we haven't even gotten to the Lions yet. Oh, my God.
But and they turned it over, what, five times?
Five times, I believe.
So, yeah, and every team knows it. And look, sometimes there's variance, and turnovers are going to happen. But I do think, and I'd be interested in your opinion on this.
Did you see the number from the four games this weekend? The winner, the winners turned the ball over a combined zero times,
there you
and
go.
The losers 10 total.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Tell me that before the weekend starts, and I'll tell you who to bet on.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's simple. Now, the question is how much of that can be controlled? And I do think that certain teams, particularly the Kansas City Chiefs, are freaking great at it.
Yeah.
They do not beat themselves. They let you lose the game. And when it comes to, and I thought Buffalo actually did that in this game against Baltimore.
Yes.
They were not, like, if you watch Buffalo this year, I feel like they got a little Chiefs in them, where they're running the ball better, and they're just, they're not, they don't seem as explosive, and they know they don't have to be. They just know that they need to be more efficient, and they can't turn it over.
Fun little, two little Josh Allen things to I couldn't agree more with the Chiefs thing. Like, Mahomes' numbers are not fantastic. Did you see that receivers for the Kansas City Chiefs, 62 yards in that game?
Yeah.
And they won.
Yeah.
Josh Allen. And this is why I said at the beginning of the year, I've been wrong a million times, but everyone that was writing off the Buffalo Bills because Stephon Diggs left, okay, have fun with that. Josh Allen, he threw for 127 yards in this game and won. He had one pass over 10 yards. One.
Yeah.
And yet they won. And they kind of feel, again, like we're going to be in that Kansas City mold because last year when he was explosive and all that, what killed Buffalo? Yeah. Josh Allen turnovers. And this year—
And he will.
He's not turning the ball
over. They've done a great job with him over the years of changing his—
Yes.
Getting him to understand that, whatever they've done. So that answers the question. It is somewhat—
Yes.
Controllable.
Yes.
And the Bills did a great job of that. The Bills didn't win that game as much as Baltimore lost that game.
Yeah.
The Chiefs never freaking lose a game. No. You better beat them.
Yeah.
And they make you do that. And that goes a long way. And I feel like with Baltimore, there is something about them, and maybe it's a Lamar thing. I don't know if he's ever going to be that. I think he's a guy that is sensational.
Yeah.
They are a team that is sensational, but that's kind of their thing, their Achilles heel. I don't know if they clean that up. I don't know how they clean that up.
I think he will eventually have a Peyton Manning, Steve Young, Drew Brees. He is too good to not get one. Although Dan Marino never got one, right?
I mean, is he now the best quarterback who never got one?
Yes.
I mean, he's got three. He will get his third MVP.
This will be his third MVP. And he does things that I've never seen a quarterback do. And in the second half, he was lights out. But you're right in that he had the interception on the ball with Bateman. And then the one thing that Lamar will do at times, he gets a little wonky with his ability, and that ball was hanging out on the fumble, and those things were killers. And no Zay Flowers, I think, certainly hurts. He's the one dynamic piece they have to their offense. And I thought that they got out-coached. I thought what Buffalo did defensively against them in the first half was really, really good. And it took Baltimore far too long to figure it out. I was sitting there in the first half. You know, they did not have one designed quarterback run for Lamar Jackson. And I'm sitting there just, and I think Derrick Henry had like seven carries. I am sitting there on my, and be like, I am beating my head against the wall being like, oh my God, they're going to do it again. Remember last year, I said Todd Monken had the worst, and hand to God, you cannot convince me otherwise. That was the worst game plan I've ever seen in my life with the Ravens against the Chiefs. And it still came down to a Zay Flowers drop. And in the first half, I was like, they're doing it again. What in God's green earth is going on? Second half, they adjusted and they got the run game going. And then I was like, all right, everything's fine. And it still came down to a Mark Andrews drop.
Well, Henry only carried it 16 times.
I know. It makes no sense to me. But in the second half, they were rolling, and some of that was Derrick Henry, and we're still going to put this on Lamar. And yes, last year and this year, he was not perfect, but he is not the reason why.
I don't think so.
They have lost these two games.
No one's saying that. At the same time, this is also not a statement that says he can't win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, he just hasn't.
But the question with him is very valid, especially after that game, because I don't know how you get better than what Baltimore's bringing to the table.
Yeah.
With Derrick Henry and him,
it's...
And it's if great. Zay's out there and Andrew, like, dude, that is as good as you can build a football team.
It's scary.
And so I think the question with Lamar is a fair one, is that are they all, if they're going to win one, are they going to have to do it in spite of Lamar's boneheaded plays from time to time? I mean, there are quarterbacks like that. Yeah. Brett Favre was like that.
Favre was like that, yeah.
You know, and Lamar may just be that guy it's maddening how they cannot get out of their own way. They do not let the other team lose the game.
Yeah.
And that's all they have to do with a team that good. And you're right about Monken. I was texting back and forth. I have a good buddy who's a huge Ravens fan. He's from Baltimore. And he knows them as well as anybody. Yeah, and he was like, dude, we are learning that Todd Monken is not elite. Yeah. He's just not. He may be good. He's not. That's 2 years in a row. And you get down to this level of the NFL playoffs, it's uncanny how the same coordinators kind of pop back up, right? Spagnuolo, again. Vic Fangio, again. That guy is elite. Those guys are elite. Todd Monken is showing he's not it.
No.
He's just not. And I don't know if they'll make a change. They had a really good offense, but there's a difference between being great in the regular season and being great against great teams who are scheming against you with great coordinators in the conference championship game or the divisional round. And he just hasn't had it. Each of the last 2 years, he hasn't had it.
On the goal line? You got that Derrick Henry guy. Maybe, just maybe, give him the ball.
You mean on the 2-point?
Yeah. No, the earlier in the game. Like, there's just times
where they had to settle for three?
Yeah. There's times in the game where I just... Again, it's easy for me to sit up here and be like, oh, you should run this. There's too many times, even during the season, this Baltimore offense at times was the best offense that I've seen in 20 years
really
of watching,
hard to stop.
Watching the NFL. And then other times you look at it and you're like, what are they doing? What are they doing? Yeah. And for the first half, and so I give them credit because they made adjustments the second half. They were lights out. But as you said, that first half was just kind of sitting there being like, what? Not 2 years in a row. And to come that close, and it's still, the last couple of years have come down to drops and silly turnovers.
I got a new thing about them. I've been on them for years. I love them. I had a ticket for them to win the Super Bowl. I'm like, dude, that team is so good. And Harbaugh's won one, so we know it's, I will no longer trust them. I can't trust them.
No.
You just can't.
I get it.
And, that last drive, what was another interesting thing is, like, I don't know what you thought, but real quick, we'll get it in the news next, but that last drive where McDermott kicked the field goal. That's another... See, I thought that was, like, questionable that he went for three there.
Yeah.
To give Baltimore a chance to come and tie it. I was like, dude, this is how you keep losing to Kansas City.
Because you've seen a lot of teams lately that just do that. You know what? Screw it. We're not giving you the ball. We're going for it. We're going to end it right here.
Exactly. He didn't, and it worked out. But I thought that was... Nobody's talking about it because they won.
Yeah, they won.
But that was pretty conservative.
That was fourth and goal at the 2-yard line. And they kicked it. And believe me, I get it. It's eight. If it was to go up seven, I'm like, dude, you go for it. But at least eight, you make him get the 2-point conversion and see what happens. But they had the 2-point conversion. And what are we talking about if they lose that game? We're going back to that McDermott call.
100%. Yeah. And it's, I don't know. I just thought it's like the other team wants you to kick the field goal.
Yes.
Don't kick the field goal.
Yes.
Like the other team's like, oh my God, they're going to give us a chance. Fine.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Go for it.
Yeah.
So that was dumb. But on that last drive, down eight, Derrick Henry wasn't even on the field.
No.
And I wonder, in some of that is, well, okay, you got to get down there quick.
You got to throw.
But at the same time, you also had the thought of, well, they've been having success with him. You've got plenty of time. As a matter of fact, they got down there. Dude, they got down there just under the 2-minute warning.
Yeah.
So they had plenty of time. That was puzzling, I thought. Now, nobody's talking about it because Lamar drove him down.
Yeah.
But where was Derrick Henry on
that? I think it just comes down to when they realize that they have to throw the ball, Justice Hill is who they go to. And they got it back with, I'm looking here, about 3:30. And so they just made the decision that Derrick Henry is, and he had a drop earlier too in the first half. And so I think when it just came to throwing, they made the decision that, nope, this is Justice Hill. The one downside to Derrick Henry as opposed to the Saquon Barkleys of the world is Derrick Henry really doesn't play into the passing game.
Yeah, I just think that you had plenty of time to run the ball.
You probably did.
Because
they were running
also
it.
Lost in that is if Mark Andrews catches that ball, is there any doubt that Buffalo gets down and gets a shot at a game-winning field goal?
Yeah.
Because they left too much time. So when you're, I don't know how, this may be just a fan thing, but when you're an offensive coordinator and a head coach talking about game management in the last 3 or 4 minutes, when you get the ball back, what'd you say, 3:20?
3:30-ish when they got it back.
I think one of the things you got to be talking about is, hey, and they had, I think, one timeout?
There were some timeouts, yeah.
One of the things you have to be talking about is, we cannot give them, and we have to milk this whole thing. This is it.
It would have been a minute 33 left, and Allen would have had the ball with a chance to go
and
down.
He would have had plenty of time.
Yeah.
And you can't, that's where it gets into the,
that's tough.
Well, you don't want to score that soon, but then again, you score, so it's like, okay. But I don't know. I think that's part of the conversation, too, which is where Derrick Henry comes in. It's like, you didn't have to rush down the field the way they did.
Yeah, you had a little more time.
And you were having success with Derrick Henry, and maybe in the end, you can tie it up with no time left.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The Ravens... You can tell I'm a scorned better.
Yeah.
Because that team, is as good a football team as you will see.
It's haunting.
Cannot get out of its own way.
It's haunting.
All right, in the news is coming up next. Let's see what we have for you here. Oh, Oregon wins again, Jace. Not Washington.
Oregon.
Oregon. That's next. Here's Buck.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, what's up? What are you guys doing out there? TGL Tuesday.
TGL Tuesday.
Already 1-0 Atlanta.
Thing is an unmitigated disaster.
You've got to kick him off the tour.
Some people were saying about, like, it's right around 1 million people are tuning into this thing. So
why?
I don't know.
Well, you asked, and we had a texter deliver some factoids.
And I don't know if that's true. I'm just taking it.
I was going to say, did he make that up?
I don't know, man. If you text me in something that I don't really care about.
And the numbers were pretty specific.
Yeah. Like, if it's something that I like means something to me, I'll probably try to confirm it. But if I ask you the ratings of the TGL and you throw out something, I'm like, yeah, it's good.
17
enough.
Million.
Sure, why not? I'll roll with that.
I might push back on 17 milli.
1 million people. I'm also convinced that if you put something on TV, no matter what it is, people will watch.
Yeah.
I mean, it's on ESPN, for God's sakes.
That's right.
At any given point, there's 1 million dumbasses sitting around being like, oh, let's see what's on ESPN. This, fine.
Well, and it's new.
Yeah.
And it's new.
It's new.
I don't know. Is anything else appealing?
It's new
about?
And?
It's well, it's new. On when nothing else is on sports.
Exactly. What else are you doing?
They picked a good window.
Dude, yeah. It's 4:30 on a Tuesday for
college
God's
basketball
sakes.
Or hockey.
Exactly.
Or the Blazers.
Or you could be watching Knicks and Nets.
No. No.
It is January 21, 2025. It is time for In the News. I'm your noted newsman. Hello. Thank you.
Hey.
Thank you so much. This is brought to you by the Advocates, injury attorneys at advocateslaw.com. Today is Squirrel Appreciation Day.
Oh, I like the squirrels.
You do have a good appreciation for squirrels. I'll give that to you.
I appreciate squirrels.
It is also one-liners day. Do you have any hot one-liners for us?
I don't. Is this like just like cheesy jokes or?
Yeah, I don't know. Like a one-liner to me is kind of like a heat of the moment type of thing. Like not necessarily a canned joke.
Then no.
But I don't know. I may be wrong about that. Do you think of a one-line joke as... As a one-liner?
I guess I have one-liners that I say a lot, but most of them are blue that I can't say on air. So, like, if someone says something, like if the phone rings, I am instinctually required to say, phone's ringing, dude. And, or if someone says, hey, your phone's ringing, I respond with, thank you, Donnie. I guess those would be one-liners from
one-liners,
movies.
Yeah. From movies.
The creep can roll, man.
Yeah, something like that. Like, that's just your opinion, man. Or
what if I told you,
Caddyshack.
Would this be a one-liner if I told you my jokes fell in the mud today and I can't tell dirty jokes?
Yeah, I guess that's a one-liner, right?
Thank you. Oh, Donnie. Well, Oregon wins again, Jace.
Yeah?
I don't know if you know what I'm talking about.
Is this the Natty?
What? They didn't win the Natty.
Oregon claimed their first paper national championship.
Yes.
They did.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's old.
The Ducks?
Oh, yeah.
In what?
Well.
On paper. The Wolf National. Was it Wolf? Is that what it is?
What?
Something like that.
Oh, wait. What? What's Wolf? No,
I'll get the info for you.
Yeah, but get it because it's not what
you guys talking about.
I thought this is what you were talking about. It's not what you're talking about. But get the details of it because it's all very blurry. But yes, Oregon has claimed a national championship. Continue with what Oregon has won.
You know, Wolf is a really fun golf game you can play with your buddies.
I've done that. Yeah. It is a good one.
No, Lightning has struck twice. Did you see that Oregon? We sold the winning Powerball ticket again.
Oh, but it wasn't like a huge jackpot or anything.
$328 million.
Oh yeah, you know.
I don't know if you call. Oh, look at you.
It didn't get national attention. You only pay attention when that thing gets up to like a bill.
Speak for yourself.
Where was the? I don't think play the big jackpots. Where was the winner sold?
Beaverton.
Huh? Really?
Yep.
Oh no, I didn't see that.
Yeah. So the last year, the dude won the $1.3 billion jackpot.
Yeah, see that? You pay attention.
And that was the guy that got it up there in North Portland, right? Wasn't he right off of Columbia?
Something like that, yes. He was in the city. All right, well, so basically what you're saying now is start spending all your money on Powerball.
What are the odds of that? No, Trump crypto.
Not gonna take the bait.
Why not?
The only one making billions off that is him. Good for him, I guess. It's not creepy at all.
Well, you know what they say, den of thieves, right? What? It's true. That stupid pastor guy, he comes out with a coin right after he has his big moment on the inaugurate. Den of thieves, man. It's right in the Bible.
I need a suit coin.
Isn't it? Isn't that in the Bible?
Den of thieves?
Yeah.
It's a Gerard Butler movie. I know that. Throwing out money changers now. Well, kudos to whoever, and Beaverton is now
$28.5 million richer.
So they'll take the lump sum, and so they'll get, like, what, after taxes, like $100 million?
By the way, if you're a pastor and you don't have a meme coin, what are you doing?
I don't think that's the way the clergy's supposed to work.
Speak for yourself.
When's the Mormon meme coin coming out? Let's go.
Yeah, $328 million. They have not come forward. But they have to in Oregon. You have a year to claim your prize.
Yeah, you got
to
come.
You cannot remain anonymous.
No,
so maybe it's Dusty.
If you can, you would 100. Yeah, but he was at work today.
Today? Well, so you're saying that? Look, well, maybe he's trying to throw us off the scent.
Well, why? He's going to have to come out eventually.
Well, getting his ducks in a row. You don't want to tip anyone off.
I promise you, if I win, there'll be signs. There'll be signs. The first sign is me not being here. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, the exact location of the retailer who sold the winning ticket remains undisclosed until the winner comes forward. Very exciting times.
Yes. Especially for that person that won $325 million.
What an exciting time.
Four people. What if it's the same guy that won last year?
I mean, there are people that win the lottery multiple times. Supposedly, there are strategies you can do to increase your chances. Now, I mean, what do you...
Yeah.
There are.
What are my odds then? The best odds that I can get?
Oh, it's
by increasing my chances.
We all know the odds. You're better off. You have better odds of getting struck by lightning like six times than winning. But I've seen those articles that say there is a handful of things you can do, including like playing the same numbers, not doing random numbers, and I don't know. There's you know, playing more often. I forget, but there was an article that was written back when
playing more often. There we go.
Well, like there was a thing like that when the when it got up to like $1 billion, like there is a strategy that some people play that win more, and that's not even necessarily you're going to win the Powerball because you can win lesser prizes.
Maybe they don't win more, but they have better odds of winning more.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Well, keep after it.
Or don't,
because Oregon's hot.
Dude, I think I've played
two Powerballs.
Yeah, like every like 8 years I think about it. I'm like, oh, I should buy one.
Now, if you're a Powerball player, would you now say because there have been two major Powerball jackpots drawn in Oregon,
are you
now flying to Vermont to get your tickets?
At least go to Washington or something.
It does feel like, yes, that you're maybe Oregon, all the juice in Oregon has been squeezed dry. It's time to head over to the Coos.
Oregon's hot. Happy Valley.
Oh, there you go. Well, I'm out in Happy Valley all the time. I should be.
You better get it right.
I should be buying my tickets out at Happy Valley.
You better get a lottery ticket.
I played the lottery on 82nd Avenue, but it's a different kind. You know.
I know that lottery. Get you an ointment.
It's a game of chance either way, right?
Two people from Oregon were arrested. I shouldn't start this story. We should take a break.
Probably.
Two people in Oregon from Oregon arrested Saturday doing what in California? Ooh. What do you think they were doing?
Something on 82nd.
I saw this. This is kind of crazy.
Yeah,
I think I did.
There we go. And we're going to find out about Wolf.
Yeah.
Titles.
The Oregon Ducks football national champions, yes, via the Wolf ratings.
Okay. That's next on The Fan. All right, welcome back. This is In the News, Jan 21, 2025. I was sent the Wolf championship rankings from Buckley.
Yeah, the Wolf Council or whatever.
Yeah, first time hearing of this. But Oregon will be recognized as a national champion in football for the first time in program history, it says here. Peter Wolf's mathematical rankings put them number one over Ohio State.
Yeah, the prestigious Wolf Index rankings.
Hang the banner.
Yeah.
Just because it's a paper title doesn't mean it's not a title.
Who That's is right. Peter Wolf? By the way, Washington finished first last year. I don't know if you know that.
Washington did?
I think that's, yeah.
Oh, well, hey.
I think so.
National title. Let's go.
So it doesn't matter who wins on the field. It's about the Wolf rankings.
Yes.
Boy, that's something. By the way, I have a TGL.
It's a well-known firm that provides financial research and analysis. So
analytics, whatever.
Analytics.
I have a TGL tie-in for you.
I can't wait. Please tell me more.
Well, we're watching Atlanta dismantle New York tonight, mm-hmm, in the Tomorrow Golf League.
Yeah.
The owners are there of the teams. Do you know who owns the New York team?
I don't.
Your guy, Steve Cohen.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's there.
What is that?
And he owns your team, the Mets.
Yes, he does.
Therefore, and there as because...
I have to root for
you
them.
You might want to root for New York.
Interesting.
They what need your help.
What does a TGL team run, Steve Cohen? And,
I don't know. Yeah. But Arthur Blank owns the Atlanta team.
Did he just find that money in his couch cushions?
So I think what they did was they went out and found guys so rich, they're like, yeah, fine. What? How much you want for this stupid thing? Yeah, whatever. Call my secretary. She'll cut you a check.
I wonder if that's what it was. Steve Cohen, like... I wonder if he even thinks about the money that he invested.
They start to pitch him, and they're like, give me the elevator pitch. And they're like, Tiger Woods is involved. He's like, I'm in.
All right. Do I get to meet him? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
Here's a million. 50 million? I don't know.
I'm going to
look up. Yeah,
see, look up, see what Steve Cohen paid for that.
Two people from Oregon arrested Saturday after pretending to be firefighters at the Palisades Fire in California.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know the point of that, but this is kind of crazy.
Were they doing nefarious things, or were they trying to fight fires?
They had their own freaking fire engine.
Huh.
Yeah, they had an illegitimate fire truck.
Really?
And they were in the area. Deputies stopped the fire truck and spoke with them, both wearing fire gear. They claimed to be from Roaring River Fire Department. Authorities said that they learned that the fire truck had been purchased at an auction. They admitted that they had been in the evacuation zone on January 17th. Dustin and Jennifer Nell, they are married, although she's robbing the cradle a bit. She's 44. He's 31.
Oh, my goodness.
Scandalous.
And the Cougar Dad. Not as scandalous as pretending you just bought a fake fire engine? You can do that?
Well, no, they bought a real fire engine at auction.
Yeah.
But it's not a...
It's like a decommissioned...
Yeah.
By the way, can I say that that'd be pretty pimp to just drive around in a fire truck? Be a little hard to park in the city, but pretty cool. I mean, I've heard this with people. This happens with cops all the time. People pretend to be cops. I can't say I've ever heard of anyone pretending to be a firefighter.
Yeah, it's a weird one. And there's no details, but they said that they impounded the fire truck and they were arrested for impersonating a firefighter and entering an evacuation zone.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see in a patented Rob follow-up whether this was like you were trying to loot and get something for this, or if you really, because there are people that try to do things like this because they want to be firefighters without actually having to go through the process.
They chase being a hero, kind of.
Yeah.
Look, them being from Oregon leads me to believe it's a very Oregon thing that they thought they had the fire truck, and they were going to go help.
I could see it.
Don't you think? Like, that's a very...
Or I could see someone going into an evacuation zone and then stealing because you've got a fire truck and you can go
through
there.
But that's more Florida.
Yeah, the Oregon
If they were
thing.
From Florida. But being from Oregon, they're probably like, babe, we've got that truck. These people need our help, man.
It's like when the Cajun Army comes to help out in a Houston flood and all the people from Louisiana bring their boats over to help out.
Let's get our lettuce.
Who are the douche canoes that, like, they wear, like, berets, they're in New York, and they, like, beat people up on the street because they're doing what the cops can't? Is it like the Guardian Angels or whatever?
I've not heard of this group.
You have no idea.
Yeah, you have. Dude, the leader of this dumbass crew, like, he's all over the news. Like they've been doing this like 30 years. He runs like a group of vigilantes that wear sleeveless t-shirts and like berets. And they go around New York and like beat up immigrants and are like, we're here to take back the streets.
What? That's legal?
That's my point, is they're not cops and they pretend to be cops. Like, there's a lot of people
but
that
are they like trying to help cops? Like, in terms
yes.
of...
Yes. Yes.
Beating up immigrants is not necessarily like helping the cops.
I think the idea is that they're there to stop the crime. And a lot of times it's a lot of uncomfortable profiling. But I think they're called like the Guardian Angels. And they run around New York and, you know, they're just like, it's what would happen if Batman didn't have any money and no equipment?
Azerasians.
It's just some dumbass in a t-shirt and a beret. But it's just, I could totally see someone being like, I'm going to be a hero. The firefighters need help. I'm here. And the firefighters are like, don't do this.
We're going to arrest you now.
Yes.
That's during the news. June 21, 2025. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. Will Ichiro sneak into the Hall of Fame? We have the answer next on The Fan.